With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Folks, I had some serious addictive sins. And when they want to crop back up out of the weed patch, I don't try to manage them and cut them back. I want to pull them out by the roots. I want to kill it. I want Briarwood to be a safe church for sinners, but the unsafest place in the world for sin. We want to see sinners loved and redeemed and sin killed. Because if you don't kill sin, it will kill you.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today, Harry Reeder concludes the message, Its Motivation, Its Mission, Its Message, Part 1, as we continue our new series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective. Today's progressive Christianity may pay lip service to distance itself from yesterday's theological liberalism, but to borrow language from our tech-oriented society, progressive Christianity is liberal Christianity 2.0, and therefore is not historic biblical Christianity. Like liberal Christianity before it, progressive Christianity has the wrong motivation, the wrong mission, and therefore ends up with the wrong message. Progressive Christianity claims to want to save the 21st century church from cultural irrelevance, but all it does is ultimately deny the ancient biblical faith once for all delivered to the saints. Let's rejoin Harry Reeder with a message entitled, Its Motivation, Its Mission, Its Message, Part 1.
Acts chapter 1. And so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What does the Holy Spirit do? He gives you power. Why does he give you power? So that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What is the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Here's what the evidence is: a powerful witness of Christ. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence poured out from the throne among a people. An unstoppable, an unshameable, a relentless bearing and lifting up of Christ and the gospel of Christ throughout all the world. That's the testimony of a Spirit-filled church. Now, does the Holy Spirit give gifts? Absolutely. Do we walk in the Spirit? Absolutely. Are we led by the Spirit? Absolutely. Is there the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness? Absolutely. But all of those things are subservient to why Jesus sends the Spirit. He sends the Spirit to his people to give us, watch, spiritual power, not carnal. We don't raise an army. Yes, I think they were wrong in the Crusades. I understand what they were doing, but I don't think that's our armament. We have the armor of Christ. We have the weapons of the Spirit to take captive the souls of men. That's what we're called to do. And this army of the Lord, this church of Jesus Christ, has Christ's armor, Christ's sword, Christ's word, Christ's righteousness, the gift of faith, and we have not only the armament of the Lord, we have the armorer. Trying to get the pronunciations right. The Holy Spirit arms us. So we bear the sword of the Spirit into this world. I think he is answering. I'll tell you where the kingdom is. It's not just one nation, it's international. It's not in one geographical location. It's spiritual. It's throughout all the earth. It's not just one people. It is making a people who were not a people, and they're becoming the people of God. I think he is answering their question. And he is reaffirming what he said in Galilee. Go make disciples, what? Of all the nations. He is reaffirming it. That is biblical Christianity. An unstoppable, gospel-empowered, Holy Spirit-saturated, God-glorifying, Christ-exalting movement of the gospel from our Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the world. That is biblical Christianity. That is what the church is here to do. I'm writing an article for Ligonier right now, and it's basically on spheres and sovereignty of spheres. And it's starting off like this, but please get the Ligonier and read it. This isn't for you not to read it. It's kind of like when I try a sermon out on you, still hear it when I do the real thing. So here's how I'm going to start. One of the first things I was taught in driver's ed was what? Stay in your lane. The church has a lane. We're going to stay in our lane. We're not the government. The church has a lane. We're not your family. Now, we are a family for your family, and we are a family for those who don't have a family, but we're not family. See, God has created, we have sinned, and God redeems. When God created, what was the institution of creation? The family. When we fell into sin, what institution did God bring to keep us from being as sinful, whether we're saved or not? What was an instrument of common grace God provided to restrain sin? The government. Then God gives the work of redemption. What is the institution of redemption? It's the church. We are not the family. We are not the state. We are the church. And now listen to me. I know some of you right now are saying, oh, Harry's anti me getting involved in politics. Oh, no. I mean, you may be in the Republican Party or Constitution or whatever party you're in, but you don't go into that party with that party being your guide. You are a Christian citizen. You engage in this field of politics as a Christian. You engage in your family as a Christian, Christian husband, Christian wife, Christian father, Christian mother, Christian grandparent. Praise the Lord, Christian grandparenting. In other words, you live life with a Christian mind, Christian heart, Christ-driven love into every sphere of society. And who is it that God has ordained to equip you to do that? His church. So we have to stay on mission. Then we will turn out. But we are discipling, and that's what happens. People go into, they learn how to do marriage. They learn how to do family. They learn how to be a neighbor. They learn how to do all of those things in Christ and for Christ, because we have a narrow mission with a comprehensive message. Our comprehensive message is teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you. Holy Spirit empowered church, Bible saturated, learning the whole counsel of God. Do you remember Paul said to the church at Ephesus after being there 3 years? He said, I'm innocent of your blood. Why? Let me give you my answer. I was on mission, on message, and in ministry. Let me give you his answer. Here's what he says. I was with you 3 years with tropical eyes. I was weeping. I was weeping over you. I was with you house to house, small group discipleship. I was with you in the gathering of God's people, the worship services. I was with you and taught you the whole counsel of God. The Word of God, inerrant, infallible, and sufficient. That's what I came to do. I didn't come to give you the latest philosophical treatise of Euripides. I didn't come to give you the latest writings on Josephus. I know all that stuff. I can quote them. But I came preaching one message, Christ and Him crucified. I brought the gospel, which is the foundation, the formation, the motivation of the Christian life. And with the gospel, that's the center, the circumference, and the substance of the whole counsel of God. And then I brought all that to you so that out of this church at Ephesus, we could send men and women who, whether they eat or drink or whatsoever they do, they now know how to do it to the glory of God. And I have now done this work with these elders with you. I have done all of that with you. Why? Because Jesus said if the church does its job, its people will become what? Salt of the earth. The light of the world. You see what he's saying? The Christian has a broad mission to love mercy, to do justice, not the Frankfurt social justice. Do biblical justice. It's called the sanctities of God's law. How do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind? How do you love your neighbor as yourself? And do what else? Walk humbly with God. That's what we're supposed to do as a church. We need to stay in our lane to put the people that need to be in the other lanes when we produce them by God's grace with the means of grace. And then I'm about to give a benediction, and we who have gathered in large groups and small groups for discipleship are now going to scatter, being evangelized and discipled with the whole counsel of God to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, I don't want to get waxing philosophically on this, but when we turned worship services into church growth enterprises instead of worship services that lift up Christ, doing both equipping and evangelism, when we did that, the church just went 5 miles wide, 1 inch deep. So we're not salty because the church is not doing its job of making disciples. Now, we're going to have a part two, okay? We're going to have a part two. So I want, now, Pastor, why is this important? Now, why, this is important because Satan attacks the church. Satan attacks the church, and when he attacks the church, he loves to attack the church from the outside in and from the inside out. For those of you a little older here, the two-front war of World War II, the two-front war of a civil war, the two-front war of the American Revolution is a constant tactic and a strategy, and Satan has it all the time. He has that strategy constantly. Therefore, we have to respond to it. We are in a situation where we have this thing called progressive Christianity. And I believe it is the same battle with some slight differences that the church had to fight in the 19th century at the turn of the century to the 20th century. It was called then liberal Christianity. And what did liberal Christianity say? Liberal Christianity did not start out to destroy Christianity. On the contrary, its selling point is we're going to save Christianity. We're going to save Christianity. Here is the modern mind in the 19th century, scientific thought, the industrial age, the rising and even the beginning of information and communication and mobilization. And listen, the church has a great opportunity at the turn of the century. But first, we have to rescue the church from cultural irrelevance. The church is going to be consigned to the dustbin of history. If you don't make the modifications, and they're not talking about do you go from a mimeograph to a printing, they're talking about the mission and the message of the church. If you don't modify it, if you don't make changes, you're going to lose your children. If you don't make changes, you're going to be on the dustbin of history. Therefore, its motivation was to save the church from cultural irrelevance. Its mission was cultural transformation. In fact, mainline Protestantism even started writing a magazine called The Christian Century. This is going to be our century. Our mission is cultural transformation. And then, before long, the message began to change. Why did the message change? Because mission always controls message. Whatever your functional mission becomes, eventually your message will be conformed to it. In the 1980s, the church decided our mission is church growth, numbers, nickels, and noise. That's our mission. So what happened? We lost the gospel. We got a pragmatic gospel. We got an entertainment gospel. We got a gospel, pardon my language, it's not too much over the top, but I just want to get the point across. We preached a gospel that would put the meat in the seat on Sunday. Not souls converted to get to heaven. It was numbers, nickels, and noise, a pragmatic gospel. Then came the era of psychology. And what people really need is they just need to more information and a better view of themselves. They just need some self-esteem help. And then we lost the gospel. Out of that comes the therapy gospel. Well, then, you know, we've just got to, people need to be successful. And y'all are probably realizing if you'll just turn on TBN, you're seeing all these programs over the last 50 years. I'm just drawing from what's out there. You need self-esteem. You get a therapy gospel. I'll tell you what you need. Let me quote one of the titles, one of the biggest programs in the 1980s, Success in Your Life. Or may I use it now? Your Best Life Now. Well, that book is right. If you go by that book, your best life is now. The one you got coming is not going to be too good. So what did we get? We get a prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus and you get healthy, wealthy, and wise. You can name it and claim it, confess it and possess it, believe it and receive it. And what else happens? Well, we need social justice. Again, I'm all for justice. My Bible tells me to disciple you. It's called biblical justice. I'm not for social justice. Social justice is totally redefined, anti-Christian, and self-centered, and has no solutions. But because we said our goal is social justice, then we get an adulterated message of the social gospel. That's what continually happens. So here's what happens. If your mission is cultural transformation, then eventually your message will be determined not by the Bible, but by cultural accommodation. And in liberal Christianity, that's exactly what happened. Well, we got to get rid of the virgin birth. We got to get rid of the resurrection of the body. We got to get rid of the atonement for sins. We got to get rid of all of that. The modern mind just isn't going to accept the supernatural miracle stuff and all this redemptive stuff and all of that. They're just not going to accept it. So then you get a theological movement. Now watch, Christian liberalism, which is going to make us culturally relevant to transform the culture, then becomes defined by the culture, because the culture won't give us a seat at the table if we hold on to these essentials, or as they were called then, the fundamentals of the faith, if we hold on to them. So today, I can't just stop here. I know I should stop here, but I can't stop here. Let me just say this briefly. So when I saw that progressive Christianity was the same as liberal Christianity, therefore, just like liberal Christianity had the wrong motivation, the wrong mission, and therefore ended up with the wrong message, it was called theological liberalism. I knew that's exactly what is going to happen here. Progressive Christianity is the same as liberal Christianity. Everything I just said, does that sound familiar to you? If the church doesn't modify, you're going to lose your children. I don't think it's because we've preached the gospel we're losing our children. I think it's because we're not preaching the gospel we lose our children. But you're going to lose your children. We want to save the church from the 20th to the 21st century from cultural irrelevance, because our culture needs transforming. Seek the good of the city. Well, Harry, don't you believe in city? Isn't it Jeremiah 29, seek the welfare of the city? Absolutely. But the city doesn't determine its welfare. God tells us to seek the lost and disciple them. That brings welfare to the city. That's why Acts 8 says, Philip went to the city of Samaria, preached Jesus, and the whole city rejoiced and was glad. But what does progressive Christianity say? We want to save the church from cultural irrelevance. Our mission is cultural transformation. Then I'm telling you, there's going to be cultural accommodation. But here's where I get the pushback. Soon as I recommended Machen's book, Christianity and Liberalism, I got poured on, Harry, where in the evangelical church are we denying the inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth? We're not doing that. You know what I said to them? Here's what I said. Yes, we are not yet denying the virgin birth, the inerrancy of Scripture. We are not yet doing that. But the only reason we haven't done it yet is the culture hasn't demanded for us to do it yet. Right now, they're demanding that we change our mission. You become a philanthropic social institution, or we will have no place for you. And so we are changing our mission, which will end up changing our message when the culture gets around to telling us these things have to change, which they already have. You better get rid of your sexual ethics. You better get rid of your view of marriage. And if you don't condemn it and celebrate what we're saying, we'll shut you down. So why is this happening? There are five reasons this is happening, and I'm not going to try to get that to you. That'll be next week. There's five reasons that progressive Christianity, which is liberal Christianity 2.0, motivation. There's a reason I don't believe it's biblical Christianity, not because it's got to the message totally yet, but simply this. It will get to the message because mission controls the message. And the reason why I believe it is anti-Christian is this. This church, Briarwood, it does not belong to the PCA, nor does it belong to you. And I can tell you, Frank and I have talked about this, the thing that brings the biggest pain to us is when somebody says, do you go to Harry's church? You go to Frank's church? This isn't our church. When I came here, they asked me, Pastor, do you want to change the mission statement? Why should I? Mission statements don't change with pastors. Gift mix may change, but mission statements, the mission isn't determined by the pastor. The mission is determined by Jesus. Go make disciples. Go make disciples, and here's your message. 66 books wrapped in the contours of the gospel of grace. And take it to your Jerusalem and to all the world. Well, Pastor, didn't it say when Paul got to Europe, less than 25 years after the ascension of Jesus, didn't it say, adversary said, these people have turned the world. Sounds like cultural transformation to me, Pastor Reeder. No, doesn't to me. Here's why. You'll go check Paul's three missionary journeys. His mission, nor his message, was to change the world. He did not have a mission of cultural transformation. That was a consequence. He had a mission of sinner transformation. And when sinners get saved, marriages, families, neighborhoods, and cities get changed. But that's not the mission. That's the consequence. Mission: rescue the perishing, care for the dying, teach them of Jesus, who is mighty to save.
Progressive Christianity claims to want to save the 21st century church from cultural irrelevance, but all it does is ultimately deny the ancient biblical faith once for all delivered to the saints. Join us again next time as we continue with Historic Biblical Christianity and Contemporary Progressive Christianity. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Its Motivation, Its Mission, Its Message, Part 1, or simply ask for message number 16322. Again, that's message number 16322. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD, which includes shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. The 20th century saw historic biblical Christianity at war with unbiblical theological liberalism, and the spread of contemporary progressive Christianity in today's evangelical church is the 21st century version of this ongoing spiritual battle. Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth. Dr. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity and topics such as its motivation, mission, and message, revoiced theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, go online to briarwood.org/progressive CD. This very well might be the most important series you will order this year. That's briarwood.org/progressive CD. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.